Hi, my love. Welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic. In today's episode, this is a sex highlight to celebrate 100 episodes of Love, Sex, and Magic. Today's episode is some of the best bits that we've had on this show, all about sex. We've got Layla Martin, we've got Regina Thomas-Hauer, we've got Lizzie Jeff, we've got Kim Anami, all on sex and pleasure. We're going to be talking in this episode about sexual reclamation, understanding how your body is a map of the goddess, how women were not raised to be taught the source of their power, casting spell words, sensual embodiment, and strengthening your yoni to receive orgasms that will change your life. Let's get into it. So juicy.
Wow, like every single thing that we've been taught about sex is wrong. Like every single thing that we've been led to believe about sex is like, think about what you've been taught about sex and then the opposite is true, right? It's like what we've been taught is so far from the truth. Like how is it that, like, why is it that we are being kept this massive secret from about how we can elevate our consciousness and have these wild, ecstatic experiences through our sexuality? Why are we being taught the complete opposite, that sex is bad, that you don't want to be a slut, that sex is shameful, that you shouldn't talk about it? Like, I mean, it just blows my mind how opposite, like we live in this upside down world, really, don't we?
Yes.
You know.
And everybody suffers because like I hadn't watched porn for like a really, really long time. And I was like, oh, let me go see what's going on. It like relates to my job. And like, maybe I could have kind of a cool like orgasm if I'm watching porn. And as I was looking at it, like let's say out of like 100 things that I saw, there was like 0.05 that I was like, oh, that's kind of a turn on. Let me try and work with that. But the rest of it, I was like, it's like the biggest cosmic joke that I'm watching these experiences. And I'm not even talking like the bad kind of porn. I'm watching like the cleaner, nicer areas of the porn world on the internet. And still like, it's like, let me like take this woman. And like, she looks like she's in pain. She looks like she's like in some way being slightly degraded. She doesn't look like she's truly enjoying herself at all. And the thing that I feel when I look at that is like, that's a fucking goddess. Like that woman is like the force of goddess herself with this like massive potential for pleasure and beauty and divinity within her. And the crazy thing is like, I look at the dudes and I'm like, and you're missing out. Like you're just as warped in this whole story because you feel like you have to take something from the goddess when she would freely give it to you. If you were in devotion, if you were in service, and like your soul would be nourished in ways that you can't even understand if you knew what woman really is. So it's like men have been in some ways, like some women are waking up to this, but men have been just as warped in this whole story. And it really is a combination of one, you know, kind of the origins of patriarchy were really, from my understanding, like, I need to know who my children's mother is. Therefore, I must control female sexuality and I must make sure that she doesn't have sex with anyone that I don't know about or agree with, anyone but me, basically, with the rise of agriculture. So that was part of it. And then the other part of it, really, as I really look into it, is, you know, women have, and people who have the lived experience of being a woman, have not been allowed to be priestesses, to be spiritual, true spiritual teachers, spiritual leaders for a very, very long time in most places in the world. And sexuality is actually a place where women know their spiritual truth, their spiritual authority, their spiritual greatness. When a woman is in her sexuality, and I don't mean like, you know, the kind of sex that a woman's supposed to be having. I mean, the kind of sex where she is in awe of her own body, where she is worshiped and adored by her partners, where she is in control of her sexual power and her sexual orgasm. There's no doubt when women engage in that kind of thing, they know their worth. They know how powerful they are. They know what they know, you know, in a way. And so It's not an accident that in, especially in Europe, but in all parts of the world, witches, female shamans, female priestesses, female leaders were basically killed, thrown into jail or prison, denied power or belonging in their societies. In some ways, in a lot of ways, stripping women of their sexual power was to strip them of their spiritual power and authority mm-hmm. and their natural way of connecting to divinity through their own bodies. Once you do that, you can tell women anything you want because they've been denied their own pathway to their own truth. So this spiritual and sexual disempowerment was not an accident, and it was part of this huge wave of disempowerment of women that's been going on for about 5,000 years. And the result of it is women hate themselves because they hate their bodies. Life becomes this struggle and this feeling, just like you are articulating, of, am I good enough? Am I okay enough? Am I this enough? Am I that enough? It's like we're these goddess queens and we've been turned into beggars. And part of that has been this stripping of our understanding of our own sexuality.
I mean, I think it's really given people permission to talk about our pussies, because I've got to be honest, like one of the first things that you bring up in the book is what words everyone had for this growing up. And when I think back, I used the word, I was taught the word wee-wee hole. Like I was taught that genitals were just for weeing. The end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's actually you even the wee wee hole, it's a ridiculous and derogatory expression for the sacred heart of feminine power, that which gives life. And at the same time, at least you were given a name. You know, when I'll ask the question in my classes, I teach these huge seminars, thousands of people in New York. And I'll say, well, what were your bits and pieces called? And many of them will say ridiculous things like wiki or cuckoo or privates or down there, or pooter, or fine china, name and address, noonie, Miss Kitty, purse. Like, you can't believe the names. And then half of the women will say nothing. They weren't even given a word to describe that which is most essentially feminine about us. We have no way to locate our power as women, you know, and the really challenging thing about that, the devastating thing about that, is that when there is no name, shame replaces the name, because you realize, oh, wait a minute, I've told these are my hands and this was my head, but that has no name. So it must be bad. And it must mean that I'm bad. And it's the beginning of a journey of between a woman and her body of great shame that can move into so much self-doubt, self-hatred, self-deprecation, and a lifetime of eating away at her confidence because she knows something is wrong with her. Nothing's wrong with her, but she's been taught through that lie of omission.
Yeah, and that shame can also breed even disgust at our own bodies, which is just horrifying. And when you shared about like we are disconnected or we're blinded to our own power because it doesn't even have a name.
Right.
Why would that be? Why could it be that we have this culture that disconnects women from our own power? Can you talk into that a little bit?
Yeah. I think that currently we live in a world, I call it the patriarchal world culture, that's kind of dominated by the broken masculine. Mm-hmm. And the priorities now are for the rich to get richer, it's not about connection, feeling, embodying, standing for community. It's about the few will triumph, and that our value is in what we can produce, what we do. We're actually taught as women to man up, you know, in order, well, you have to be tough like a man, not be emotional, work twice as hard. You know, women are paid in this country, in our country, white women make 79 cents for every dollar paid to a man. African-American women make 63 cents. And Hispanic women make 53 cents of every dollar paid to men. And only 9% of top grossing films released last year were directed by women. And women hold only 19% of seats in Congress in our country. So that's what a patriarchal culture is. It means that the masculine and men are valued more than the feminine and women. And it just means we're out of balance. The masculine is good and the feminine is good. But when it's out of balance, it's like very destructive. It's like a bird trying to fly with one wing.
Yeah,
it's impossible to do. And it keeps going around in circles, which is what we're seeing in the world right now.
Completely. And for all of us, you know, it's really all we've known in this lifetime, because it has been that way for so many thousands of years. But what I loved learning about in Pussy was that it wasn't always that way. And there's actually so much evidence that women's pussies and women's bodies and women were worshipped. Can you speak a little about that?
Oh, my goodness. This is like so eye-opening for me, because I never could find my way living in a patriarchal world culture with the religions being dominated by the masculine. There, you know, I grew up of the Jewish faith, and God was a man, and the rabbis were men. It's similar in the Christian faith, where Jesus is worshipped, and the majority of the clergy are men. Buddhism, he was a guy too. And I was wondering, where is the divine feminine in all of this? She's absent. And so in my research, because I'm a researcher at heart, and I've found the work of Maria Gimbutas and Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung and Merlin Stone, where they were describing a time not that long. I mean, it hasn't been that long that the patriarchy has existed. It's only the last 5,000 years. But if you and I went back 50,000 years ago, let's say, women were worshipped as the seat of life itself. There is cave paintings that show a hunter pulling his bow, about to take the life of, let's say, a deer or an antelope. But the energy of that action sources all the way back to his woman's pussy. So there's a drawing of a woman and her pussy with a line through his bow and arrow to the prey, because she who gives life is the one who can grant the taking of a life to serve life. So it's so respectful. There's legends. If we were in ancient Egypt, let's say we got in our time capsule, we went to ancient Egypt, and we would be with our sisters at planting time right around now. We would stand on the edge of the fields, and we would lift our skirts, and we would pray to the fields and to the gods and goddesses, may this wheat grow as high as my pussy. That was considered a prayer.
Magic. Magic. Yeah.
If an ancient fisherman was out fishing, his wife, before he left, or as he was journeying out, she would flash her pussy to keep a calm sea for him, so that he would return to safety. And there's so many legends like this, because, of course, pussies, since they are the source of life.
Yeah.
And so that was revered at a time. And it is not that way now. Pussies are disparaged, despised widely.
Hi, guys. If you are an entrepreneur listening to this episode and you would like my eyes on your business for an entire year of mentorship, then I'm here to let you know that applications are now open for The Queendom, which is my year-long council and mastermind for business, love, life, and legacy. So if you are passionately growing your business and you are a leader, a powerhouse, and you're ready to relate to your business in a beautiful, healthy, feminine way and grow your impact, then join us. You can go to melwells.com/queendom to apply. I'm taking on 13 female entrepreneurs in 2023 to mentor for the entire year. And also we have two beautiful retreats included in that year. So if that interests you, you can go to the link in the show notes, melwells.com/queendom. And of course, this is a year-long mentorship. So this is not for brand new entrepreneurs. This is for people who have been on the journey for a little while. So can't wait. Hope you apply and we'll see you there. Let's get back into the episode.
You're still like one of the first artists to do this. You know, you're still like in that first wave of like female artists who are really wanting to empower through their music, through their like affirmations. Like every single lyric is so like intentional. And it's like, it's still new for a lot of people.
Thank you.
You know?
Yeah, it is. I hear that. People call me pioneer, and I'm just following the path of the women who paved the path before me, because it took a lot for me to be here. It's, you know, and especially being, you know, a woman in this society during this time, you know, it requires a lot of energy protection. Because when you look up, you see the billboards, you see the magazines, there's so much pressure to do this and change your body and look a certain way and act a certain way and, you know, have sex a certain way. And it's like, damn, it's a lot coming at us. There's a lot of pressure. So we have to protect ourselves. So when we listen to this music and we program our mind, when we do our herbal V-steams, you know, when we do our breast massage, when we hang out with women that speak life into us, that's where it's at. That's what really matters. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we protect ourselves in that way. And if there's toxic energy around us, cut the cord. Cut the cord. Disconnect from whatever doesn't literally serve you. Because we should be living a life of luxury and beauty and peace of mind and flow and ease. So I'm just very thankful to be here because I know that my grandmother, my grandmothers, my great grandmothers, there was a lot of things that they had to put up with. There's a lot of times that they may have wanted to speak their truths, but they didn't, just to live to see another day. And so I know that a lot was sacrificed for me to be here so free, so open, not giving a fuck. Thighs, breasts, music, cannabis, energy, you feel me? Just being everything that they said I couldn't be. And I'm here and I'm a living, breathing expression, reflection of that. Fuck your stereotypes.
So good. So good.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to say preach.
My girls so over good. There. Shout out to Queen so Warline. Good. Shout out to Yasmin Saida.
So when you sit down and you want to actually like start channeling a new song, let's say, are there any practices that you always do to like help you get into that zone? Or is it something that just comes and then it's just like, let me get a pen. I got to write this down.
Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's that flow. A lot of times it's ritualistic. Because honestly, what I realized, my words are spell works, witchcraft. Anything I speak, I'm beautiful. I'm sexy as fuck. I'm elevated. My path is lit. Everything I touch turns to gold. My bank account is overflowing. My crypto accounts are overflowing. I love getting paid lots of money to be me. Ooh, damn, it feels so good to be me. Ooh, I feel so sexy today. I feel empowered. I feel inspired. Wow, all my girls are thriving. All the women around me are in their motherfucking bag. It feels great to be here. When I speak things like that with conviction, I'm declaring it to the universe, and the universe is like, okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. And so that's the music for me. And so realizing and recognizing that power, I'll give you an example. When I wrote Goddess Code, about 6 months ago, surpassed 1 million views after 5 years of being in rotation. In 5 years, it surpassed 1 million streams. But in the last 5 months, it's already hit 2 million. Probably by the time we finish this interview, Goddess Code will have hit 2 million streams. And I believe that by my birthday in July, it'll be at 3 million. And I'm saying this to say is the exponential growth in the magic, the witchcraft that was put into it. That was the very last song that I wrote for my album, West Coast Enchanted. It was an EP. Mm. And it was the very last time I experienced writer's block. I was experiencing heavy writer's block trying to finish this album. And I knew I wanted to create a song that felt witchy and sexy and elevated, but strong and powerful and empowering for all women and men. And so what I did was I was working with kyanite. Kyanite is a stone that helps you bring ease and flow and eliminates restrictions and blocks. So I was working with kyanite, and what I did was I set the intention for the song and what I wanted it to sound like and feel like. I called on the power of my ancestors and the women that came before me for them to channel through me, because I wanted to create a code, a goddess code. Growing up, especially in hip hop culture, everybody knows about the G code. The G code. A lot of men live by the G code. I'm like, the women need a G code, the goddess code. So I called on the power of my ancestors. I called on that energy. I channeled that energy to come through me, and I put that beat on. And this was a beat that my producer made. I just expressed to him how I wanted it to feel and sound. He went into the studio and he created this powerful music. And then at the end, the key is the piano. So when I'm listening to it and I'm channeling this energy, it's just coming through. It's just flowing through. I am all that I preach to be. I invite you all to take a leap with me. And then I said, free bleeding on the earth is tribal. Let it flow. If it isn't vital for your survival, let it go. Protect your energy. And so it's ritualistic. It's intentional. It's love. I talk about everything from racial injustices to micro reparations as a lifestyle, to being a goddess, to affirmation music, to political music, to music that's speaking directly to our men, that's empowering the men. Music that I'm thinking of when I'm speaking to teenage girls. Mm-hmm. Music to my allies, my white friends who need guidance, who might be seeking that inspiration on how to show up as an ally during this time. And so the music is very well-rounded. Yeah, we're going to shake ass to money bags. You feel me? We're going to go and get a bag. We're going to be on some sexy stuff, sipping our herbal tea when the ministry is on. We're going to get in our hood bag when dues is on. But we're also going to get into it with us. And we're going to have those challenging conversations about how we can move forward as a collective, as a community. Mm-hmm. And it's very powerful. So thank you for asking that question.
For anyone that's listening, that's just like, I have no idea what is going on. What is this? What are they talking about? What is this magic egg that I'm hearing them talk about? Can you break it down super simple? What is this egg and what does it do for your vagina?
Right. So just like any other muscle in the body, the vaginal pelvic floor muscles need exercise in men and women. And, you know, the idea that women have all these symptoms that are considered to be normal. So in my work, I talk a lot about normal versus normal life. normalized, right? So women think that peeing their pants is normal. It's not normal at all. It's been normalized because there's so much misunderstanding about women's health and unwillingness to talk about it and all this shame that's, you know, laid on top of it. Where I actually assert that shooting ping pong balls with your vagina is normal. That is what a normal, healthy vagina ought to be able to do, not just some like show that people think they see in Thailand. So the jade egg is an egg that's, it's a piece of jade carved in the shape of an egg that goes, a stone that goes inside the vagina. It's got a hole drilled through it, and then you can attach a string to it. So then you can attach any number of weighted objects to it. And then you're creating that feedback and resistance that you need to actually build strength. And so just like, think about exercise, right? If you were to just do this with your bicep, like do a bicep curl in the air versus picking up a weight and then pressing with the weight, of course, you're going to build muscle and strength by using the weight, and you're going to do very little. Maybe you'll bring a little bit of awareness to the area by using nothing but air, but it's really not going to build any kind of strength. And so, as I said, the stats on women suffering from issues due to a lack of pelvic floor strength are incredible. And there's so many things that are attributed to this, like even lack of lubrication in women, right? Lubrication comes from circulation. If you have adequate blood flow and oxygenation in the tissues, you're going to have profuse lubrication. You know, I've had menopausal women gushing all over the place, sending me text messages like they can't even sit down anymore without leaving a puddle because their vaginas are now on overdrive because they're right. So powerful. Their libido's gone up. Their orgasmic potential has gone up. They have much more sensation in the vagina. I often say that most vaginas are numb because they're just under exercised and under, you know, loved as well. Mm. But without that actual exercise paid to them, they just wither away and atrophy like any other muscle that we don't exercise. And so this idea of prolapse and incontinence and the allopathic approach is ridiculous. It's like trying to put plastic mesh into the vagina, that there's like millions of lawsuits now against, you know, pharmaceutical companies for doing these things because they don't work and they backfire and create massive problems inside of women. So, you know, these are things that can all be addressed holistically, naturally, and with the jade egg on its own, right? Is this powerhouse for women to reconnect. So not just building this physical strength and awareness and articulation, but to reconnect to those energies. So when women have dissociated from their sexual energy and their vaginas, it feels numb. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the egg practice is all about bringing that sensation, that feeling, that awareness back into the area and reclaiming this part of ourselves.
It makes so much sense why we would do that. And it's crazy now when you put it like that, how we go to the gym and we work our muscles, but yet we don't do anything to work our vagina muscles. We just kind of think we don't need to do anything. And I love when you share, because there's so much kind of, you know, this conditioning that we receive that's like, you need a tight vagina, you need a small and tight vagina. And I love when you share, you're like, no, you want a strong vagina. You know, it's not about it being tight, it's about it being strong. And this is how we create a stronger vagina. And it's not for our partner's sake, that's for our sake, so we can have like better orgasms. Well, obviously, and our partner obviously benefits from that as well. But it's something that you can, that we're doing for ourselves, right?
Absolutely, yes. And it's true. There's a misnomer, and I often clarify that in my work, is that we don't want a tight vagina because women can have what I call a vagina on lockdown, and that's a condition where the vagina feels really tight and unable to open, which is incidentally often from unresolved trauma. You know, mm-hmm. often women with that condition have had sexual abuse or violations, and of course their vagina is going to shut down until it receives healing. Like smart vagina, right? But rather than listening to the vagina, the allopathic approach is to try to force it open, or it's all in your head, or we have no idea what this condition is about because they don't look at the deeper possible causes. And so, yes, a side benefit is that you can give your partner an orgasm, you know, a hand job with your vagina, or if your partner's been naughty, you can punish them as well. There's a...
Tell us more about that.
A friend of mine knew a woman in Thailand who put three women in the hospital because she didn't know her own strength, or maybe she did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, that's what, again, this is the normal healthy baseline for vaginas, using them as a secret weapon in all possible ways to create your life and energize and rejuvenate yourself. And of course, as a, you know, self-protection. I'm kidding about the last part, obviously. but it's a true story about the woman in Thailand. It's not, I mean, that's the truth. A vagina can be that strong.
So I really hope you loved this episode. If you enjoy listening to this show, I would love if you would leave us a review. And really exciting, you can now have your question answered by me on this show live by sending in a voice note to the show. So you will have the option to have this message completely anonymous too, but it's going to be like getting mini coaching from me on air. So if you want to take part in this, I would love to do this with you. So go to the link in the show notes and you'll know exactly what to do. So thank you so much.